Okay, today's daf is Pesachim, daf Dalet. We're at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, in the middle of speaking about speech and its power and how to speak appropriately. Rav Barachua de Rabbi Chiya Bar Achdei. So Rav, the son of Rabbi Chiya, and the brother of the son of his sister, Kisalek Lahatam Amarle, Aivu Kayam. So he went there, he asked, is Aivu, who's your father, alive? Amarle, Ima Kayamet? He said, is Ima, is Ima alive? Amarle, Ima Kayamet? It's a good question. Is Ima alive? Amarle, Aivu Kayam? Well, is Aivu alive? Meaning he wouldn't say yes or no to either of the questions. He just kind of diverted from the question. And in that way, he understood that both of them had passed away. He just didn't want to give the bad news, so he diverted the question each time. Amarle l'shamei. So then, you know, the Rav Chiya, who just found out that he's essentially in mourning because he had lost a family member. Chalutz li min alai v'holich kalai acharei lebeit hamerachatz. Shema mina tzlat, shema mina eval asor b'ni lad sandal, shema mina shmua rechoka enan oheget el yom echad, shema mina miktat yom kichulo. So we even learned three things. So basically Rabbi Chiya said to his attendant, please take off my shoes, carry my garments after me to the bathhouse. So we can learn three things from that. First of all, if you're in mourning, you're not supposed to wear proper shoes. And furthermore, if you hear about the passing of a relative after a significant period of time and not upon their death, you only have to have one day of mourning. You don't do a full shiva. And lastly, that even practicing mourning for part of the day is tantamount to doing the entire day. Ahuda Amar Dunu Dini. So furthermore, in regard to specificity of speech, there was a certain person, whenever he needed a judgment, he said, judge my judgment. Dunu Dini Amri Shma Mina Midanka Tidichtiv Dan Yedinamo Kechad Meshuvtei Israel. And they the judges understood from him that he must be a descendant of Shevet Dan, as it says that Dan will judge his people, Dan Yedin. Ahuda Havaka Azil Vamar Akif Yama Asuseni Birta. The person who was walking around praising the bushes on the shores of Cyprus. So they checked into it and found that he was from Zvulun. That's why he was particularly obsessed with the plumage obsessed with the plants on the seashore, because he was from Zvulun, and Zvulun was always going to be by the sea. Asher kamed lan dechule alma or urtehu michde ben Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Meir chametzeno asvel mcheshor lomala v'nivduk b'shei. So okay, well, if that's the case, you know, we've come to a conclusion that everyone agrees that you have to do the night before. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Meir, the chametz only becomes aser at the sixth hour of the day. So why don't we just do the bezika then? It's kind of odd to have to do it the night before. V'chitem is raising makdim in the mitzvah nivduk matzafer. And if you want to say, oh yeah, you know, just do it as early as possible, then check in the morning, right? Right, just like Brit Mila, right? According to Brit Mila, you have the entire day to do it, right? But you should be Zrizim Makdim and do it in the morning. Okay, so too, do the 14th in the morning, even though it's not usher till the sixth hour. Why the previous night? Because this is an hour that people are generally home, and that a candle, it's a great way to illuminate small crevices in your home to find chametz, and so that is the best way to check for chametz. Dafka, not even in the light as much as in a dark, when you can use candles in order to illuminate the dark parts of your house, even in the light. Amar Abaye Hilka Chaytzur Merabanan Lo Liftach Beidna Beurta Ditleisa Dnagi Arbe. So Dilma Meshacha Le Shemate Vate Le Imnuye Mitzvah. And we can see from there that a Torah scholar should not begin to engross himself in study right before the night of the 14th, because maybe he's going to get caught up in his learning and he's going to push off doing this mitzvah. Someone rents out their home to a friend on the night of the 14th. Or to, you know, not necessarily a friend, but rents out his home to someone on the 14th. Who is supposed to do the bedika? Al maskir levdok to chamir didehu odil maasocher levdok to yisur b'shutekai. Is the renter? Does the renter have to do the bedika because it's his chametz, or does the person renting out the apartment have to do the bedika because it's his chametz, or does the renter have to do the bedika because the chametz is now in his possession? Tashima, okay, come here, proof. A maskir bayit lechaver al asocher al asot mezuzah. That if someone who rents out his house to someone else, the person renting it is in charge of the mezuzahs, right? In which case, it stands to reason that if he's in charge of the mezuzahs, then things are considered in his domain, and he should also be in charge of the bedika. Hata ha'amar rav mesharshia mezuzah chovad adarhi. No, there the there we have an explicit teaching that the mezuzah is incumbent upon the person who lives there, right? But lav davka equivalent to our case, hachamai, what are you going to say here? Amar lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak tanena. We taught in the Mishnah, maskir bayit l'chaveru, someone who rents out his house to someone else. Im ad shalom masar lo maftechot chalar ba'asar, ala maskir livdok, right? If the night of the 14th already started before the renter received the keys, then the person renting it out has to do the bedikah. V'im mashemasar lo mafteach chalar ba'asar ala socher livdok. However, if he already received the keys by the time before night started, then the person renting needs to do the bedikah. Ba'u minim Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak maskir bayit l'chaveru bar ba'asar cheskato baduk o'en cheskato baduk. Okay, well, what if you just rent out the house stam? You rent it out here. You're renting out a home. Someone goes in. He doesn't know if it's baduk or not. He doesn't know if the person who rented out already did the bedika, right? Can he assume that he did the bedika or not? Lamai nafkamina l'shayle, right? What's the practical implication? Just ask him, right? Is that so hard? Well, this unknowable information. Right? No, he's not there to ask him. He's not around. We don't know where he is. We can't access him. He's not there to ask him. So do we make the renter go out of his way to do the bedika out of this doubt, out of this suffix? Amar lo Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak tani tu. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, perhaps you can learn it from the following: Hakol ne'amanim al biur chametz. Everyone is trusted when it comes to burning the chametz. Afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ketanim. Right. So even women, slaves, and minors were generally not trusted in these matters. Right. My time mahani. Now, why do we specifically say here we have reason to believe them in such a case? They have we trust them on such matters. Isn't it because that by default we assume that it's going to be, that we default we assume that it's already checked? In which case, once something is already a chazaka one way, then a woman, a slave, and a minor can kind of testify or confirm, right? But they cannot change the chazaka if it's the other way. Right, because we must hold that everyone is kind of in the same boat when it comes to bedika chametz, and everyone is reliable when it comes to bedika chametz. The Tanya, we're going to write a chaver shemet veniach megura malei perod afilo hen ben yom on harebe cheskam tukagin mitukanim. And how do we know this principle? Because someone who dies, someone who's trusted to take meiser, who dies and it leaves a home full of fruit, even if they were picked that day, we assume that he'd already taken meiser from them. Umimai, right? Dil mashani achim mishum dekama. The Kamri Hani, Atu Amira the Hani, Midi Mishasha Itpe. Right? No, maybe this is different. Maybe it's different because maybe it's only the fact that they said something that means that we can rely that it's checked, right? That means that we can rely that it's checked without any without any statement whatsoever. Meaning we said they're Ne'eman. What does Ne'eman generally mean? That It does something, right? I mean, they're trusted, and therefore and they're trusted, and therefore, if they say something, we rely that it's checked. Not to say that we rely that it's checked, even if they don't say anything. But then we answer, "Atu Amir Dahani Midi Mishasha Yidbe." Okay, well, what significance is there to that statement exactly? Because if there's no significance to their testimony, then the fact that they said something is of no particular significance, unless it's to say that it's Bechazkat Baduk, that it's already considered to be checked. Elamai Bechazkato Baduk Hayakol Ne'emanu Kol Batim Bechazkat Badukim Bar Basar Mibayle. Well, the then it's kind of odd, right? Because if you want to say that when it says that everyone is ne'eman, what it's really saying is essentially that all houses are assumed to be checked. Well, then you know what it should have said? That all houses are assumed to be checked. Why teach me the idea that everyone is trusted? Why teach me the idea that houses are assumed to be checked by saying the following? Everyone is ne'eman. Well, you know how you could have better taught me that houses are considered to be checked? By teaching me houses are considered to be checked. Elamai, Mishum Amira Dehani, Ha Lo Amri Hani, Lo. What's the alternative? Meaning, how exactly do you hope to be learning? Right? Or how exactly do you hope to understand this text? Right? Do you want to say it's like this? Right? That it's because, meaning since the fact that it taught a kol ne'emanim, what are we saying? That because these people said something, then we understand that it is baduk, right? That it's checked. But if they didn't say anything, it wouldn't be checked. Well, then we should have just answered our initial question by saying, No, it's not considered to be checked. Why? Because apparently we need people to tell us that it's checked. So the long story short is that no, it's not considered to be checked. We need someone to come in and tell us. That's not the inference we made. We made an inference to say that that Davka, this Mishnah, was in support of the fact that it was considered checked. And now we're saying it basically proves us the exact opposite, right? That the fact that we need someone to say something means that it's not Bechezkat Baduk? Lo, rather, that's not the understanding. Le'olam, im l'cha Chezkato Baduk. Really, we should say that it is... That we presume it to be checked. In which case, what is this case talking about, which expresses the ne'emanut of women, of minors and of slaves? The muhzak lan de lo badak. Right? When we have a particular chazaka in that case that it's not checked. The kamrihani badkine. And then these come in and say, these particular people come in and say, oh, we checked them. Mahuratema, what might you have said? Lolemin or Rabbanan, right? The Rabbanan would not have believed that, would not have taken their aid with Kamash Malan. So we see from there, Kevan de Bidigar Hamet Midar Rabbanan, who, the Midar right, the Bitul Ba'alma, Sagile, Heminua, Rabbanan, Bidar Rabbanan. Right? So we can see from here that Bidigar Hamet is essentially Midar Rabbanan. And so, because on a deraita level, you can just be mevatel everything. You don't have to check. You just say all the chametz is batel, but the rabbanon require you to check to make sure you don't find something substantial in your house that's going to make you regret being mevatel in the middle of Pesach, right? And so, because the bedikah itself is the rabbanon, so the rabbanon permitted you permitted. Women, minors, and slaves in order to say that they checked the house. Mahu, right? Well, what if someone rented out the house and it's Bechezkat Baduk? You can assume that it's checked. And then you find that it wasn't checked because you find a piece of bread just lying around, right? What's the case there? Right? Is that considered to be a mistaken renting, meaning you or a mistaken sale or a sale on false pretenses or not? Dashmal, come here, proof. Damar Abaye. Abaye says as follows. Lomi baye ba'acha delo ayavi agro batku ubedaku. Right? So it's there's no question when it comes to a place where people generally do not hire other people to check their chametz, rather they do it with themselves, because then you're doing a mitzvah with your goof, right? And so it's preferable to, everyone would prefer doing the mitzvah by themselves, but even, right, the lichan elin ishtakum a mitzvah begufe, everyone would rather do a mitzvah by themselves than having someone else do it. Ela filu ba'asha diyave agra ubadku denichal elin ish dekiyume mitzvah b'mamone, right? So the even in a place that people generally hire people to check for their chametz, even still, you should assume that you would still rather pay someone to do a mitzvah on your behalf as opposed to having someone else pay someone to do a mitzvah on their behalf, right? So a person would always prefer an active engagement in the mitzvah, right? If it's an active engagement as opposed to paying someone to do the mitzvah, that's preferable. But even if someone else is doing the mitzvah anyway, still you'd rather be the one paying for it so that you could be a part of the mitzvah through your money. In which case, it's not a mekach ta'ut, right? We don't assume that this is a sale under false pretenses because you assumed that it was going to be sold, but you assumed that the chametz was going to be checked, but it wasn't actually checked. Because if given the opportunity, you would love to be a part of the mitzvah. In which case, if you had the choice, you would rather it not be checked and you could be a part of the mitzvah. That's not going to be considered that you made this agreement under false pretenses. We're going to stop here.